T-Mobile. 14 China, in the garage. I'm talking to manicure tools from 30 years ago. They were oxidized and really ugly in a mess. Oiling them up, too.
Less fun than driving up 85.
You were getting traffic redirected. Like they were shutting down southbound lane, and that was going to be interesting. How'd that turn out?
Police had one of the entrance ramps blocked off, and they were just taking up the cone, so I imagine I just caught the tail end of whatever they were doing, but I never did have to stop.
I've had those same panics before. One time, I was in my car, and my cell phone wasn't working. I don't know, the battery's dead or something, and I was late for a meeting, and I tried to tell my boss that they were doing the same thing going into Charlotte that year that you saw. So I sent him an Apers email. I don't know if you've ever sent email by Apers, but that's something you just preceded with uppercase email when you send out your beacon. And he got it, and he didn't believe it was from me. I told him I'm sitting out here on 85. There's nothing I can do to get there.
Kind of sending an email via Apers, so it might be something to look into. I've been working a little bit with a new standard called CATS. It's a UHF high-speed data packet forwarding standard that's kind of designed as a replacement for ATRS. It's still in its infancy, but I've designed a board, and I've got the software from the original author that I need to port over to C to run on an STM32. It runs on an STM32 now, but he wrote it all in Rust, and I don't know Rust, so I need to get it ported over to C so I can actually work with it, and then get this board up and running. But it looks like it's pretty fun.
Whatever language it is, I'm moving over to C so that I can understand what's going on quicker. You can probably figure it out eventually in Rust. And a lot of them emulate, you know, this, when they went from words like Fortran and COBOL to TypeScript, like C and C++, nobody's invented anything new since then. It's all just variations on the same thing.
Sure, I mean, C sort of really did it, and it was the right solution, and it has been the right solution for a long time, and that's what everybody knows. It seems like there's a new language every month that comes out, and it all has a purpose, and maybe it's good for that purpose, or maybe it's not, but nothing's been able to replace C, and, you know, Rust advertises itself to be like a memory-safe language, but if you write your C programs well enough, you've got the same memory safeness, so to speak. So I feel like Rust is maybe just a replacement for good programming practice, and I'd rather just be a good programmer.
With Java and C#, they came around with a fourth generation version of C. The third generation, they came with that C and C++, but three interpreters away from the CPU. Java and C# are four generations away from the CPU, so every time you go to an interpreter, you lose a little bit of speed. But with Java, they got that back by writing some mathematical libraries that Java had access to that were the same mathematical libraries that C had access to. And Java caught up with C on speed with mathematical equations. They can go as fast as C, but just because it uses that math library. But the other ones that I've seen, you open them up, you start looking at them, and they're just variations on a TypeScript language. There's not very, like in C, I don't think there's any words. There might be GoTo. I think there's GoTo in C, and that's the only word. Or main, you know, like a procedure call, like main, or the procedure calls that you make up. But when you get inside the procedure call, it's open squiggly bracket, close squiggly bracket, and everything in between there is just a bunch of if then else switch statements, that kind of stuff.
Go-to statements, but, you know, it kind of stinks, but nobody uses them anyway because it's not good practice, so, I've always done all right in C, and all of our power tools run on C, so that's just what I'm comfortable with, and I'm sticking with it, so it works. There's no need to change.
I'll use a go-to, but you know, like you said, it's fast practice. It's all big thing. You're in a debugger, something throws you, you know, 2 miles away from where you were. And you have no clue where you are anymore. Yeah, that's a bad practice.
You out for winter field day over the weekend?
I bet Muddy Creek. stations for the big stick slingshot, the one that tree fellers use to get lines up in trees. But in that call, which it was starting to warm up by the time we did that, and in that call, those big sticks put those hacky sack, 10-ounce hacky sack over the top of at least an 80-foot tree. It might have been even taller. Two of them on either side, and we put a mystery antenna about 80 feet up in there. And when we first plugged it into a TS-2000 and turned it on, you could hear stations all over the world. So, success.
We had an antenna at home that's been more than about 25 feet off the ground, if that even. So you had to get 80 feet off the ground in a field setup. It must have been pretty nice.
Use that land up there for our field station. It's really nice and big. You can spread your stations out really far so they don't interfere with each other. You know, being in a safe vicinity, it's going to have some interference, but not as bad as it could be if you were all packed and your antennas were overlapped.
And new trees scouted out on our property for an antenna. I'm going to be moving my shack over from the work at home house to our normal house in the basement, and the neighbor is going to let me use one of their trees as one of the endpoints for the dipole, and then I just need to get a little bit of a line up into one of our crepe myrtles that'll hold the other end of it, the short end, you know, because my dipole's off center, 44 feet on one side and 88 feet on the other. And, yeah, so once I do that, I should be able to get it up about 40 feet, which is a lot better than I've got now.
Nirvana, the better it is. I tried to get my, you know, I'd work a half a day in the yard to get 10 more feet. All I had done.
A center fed. The thing with those CFDs is you don't want to put them too high because then the impedance starts to go way up. And I'm already going to probably grab myself a 6-to-1 Valen just in case, because I got a 4-to-1 now. But you can't raise them too high. But you know, if you know, higher than 20 feet is certainly better.
Not everything I'm using are mystery antennas or Carolina Sticklers, which is all center fed. So it's always higher you go, the better it is. I guess you could get fish. I don't know if you put it on. I was talking to a guy one time, and where was he? In the Midwest somewhere. He had a 200-foot tower, and he hung a vertical off that tower that was almost 200. I think it went up above the tower just a little bit, and then it came out to the side, and he hung it down, upside down. And the vertical was ladder line that was about a foot between the lines, maybe 2 feet between the lines. It was huge. And, man, it sounded like he was right next door to me, and he was only using like a handful of watts. I did QRP more than I didn't do power much. I always did QRP.
That could be pretty good. I know it's not very lossy at all, even at high frequencies, so that's always helpful. But, listen, the XYL is texting me, so I need to get off here and give her a call real quick. It's good talking to you, Dave. I'll catch you again soon sometime. This is W2JKT73. I'll be clear on your final.
Hey, out there on the road, W2JKT74DJW.